God is good, guys. You know, I don't know how you thought about God or heard about God, but I want to tell you this morning, we serve a good, good God. He is good all the time. And, you know, so much I could cover this morning and share with you on this Easter Sunday about Jesus. I want to just start out with a verse, and we're going to talk about the resurrection, but I want to go to the cross for a few minutes. So why don't you stand this morning and turn to Isaiah 52:14, because a lot of people don't understand all the ramifications of the cross. He was God's perfect sacrifice for the whole world. God's sacrifice, because there had to be a sacrifice because of sin. Sin entered the world through Adam. And Jesus came as the perfect Adam and fulfilled all of the law. All of the law was fulfilled in him. And he went to the cross. And at the cross, God poured out all of his judgment on Christ. All of the judgment that was hinged up and against the law was poured out on Christ. Christ took all of your judgment today so you wouldn't have to be judged. That is the good news. And I want you to look at this verse, Isaiah 52, verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, so his... Let's put that up in a different version. Can we put that up in the NIV? I think it might read a little bit better if you can find that. Let's put it up there. And so I want you to really understand this. Just as there were many who were appalled at him. This is speaking of Jesus. This is a prophetic word way before Christ went to the cross, but it's a prophetic word about him being on the cross. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Wow. Did you get that? It says there was never anyone that looked at him that was anything mere human about him. He was so marred and disfigured. So I want you to raise up your Bible this morning. Say it like you mean it today. This is a little confession we do. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody, give him a high five and say, he's alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to go here just a minute because I want you to understand what Christ did for you. Christ gave his life that you might have life. In fact, the Bible says he's come to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe that thief is religion, and a lot of people are just caught up in religion. God wants you to be caught up in a relationship today. He loves you so much that he died for you and became so marred. And all of God's judgment was poured out upon him. And the reason he was so marred, I believe, he took every tumor. He took every cancer. He took every disease upon him at the cross. You see, the Bible says that he was beaten with 39 stripes. 39, there's 39 different categories of diseases, doctors say. And for every disease, it was poured out upon him. And he was so marred on that cross that you and I might receive healing and be healed. He is that kind of good God today. He is not mad at you today because the judgment was poured out on him. He loves you today unconditionally. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. God loves you today. Amen. And the resurrection is about giving life. He wants to give life to you. He doesn't want you living in dead or in death. He wants you living in life. In fact, he wants you living this abundant, joyous life that he has for you. Do you know he has peace, joy, love, all these things God has for you today. It is here. It is present. It is with us today. So what is the resurrection about? Look at Romans 8 and 11. Let's go there, and we're going to look at some stories of the resurrection, because I know the resurrection is about hope. We have a hope today, not out there in the future, but today. We have a hope, Jesus living in us today. Look at what Romans 8 and 11 says. As if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Christ is about life. He has a good life for you. He has nothing but good in store for you. He wants to give you that life this morning. He wants you to have that life this morning. He wants you to wake up in the morning and say, not say, "Oh Lord, good morning." He wants you to say, "Good morning, Lord." Amen. He is that kind of good God. Every day you can expect favor from him. Every day is a good day. Every day is a joyous day. Every day is a celebration of life because of what he's done. And he says that spirit, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you receive him into your life, he's in you this morning. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you, is able to give life to your mortal body. God doesn't want you sick. Turn to somebody this morning and say, God doesn't want you sick. In fact, it's not God's will for you to be sick. God wants you to be whole. Don't let anybody tell you it's God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to be sick. It's God's will for you to be well, to enjoy life. He died that you might receive life. Amen. He's that good God. Hallelujah. Look over at 1 Peter 1 and 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Why don't you look at this scripture? Great scripture this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. Everybody say great mercy. He is a God of great mercy, not wrath, but mercy, great mercy. That word mercy can be translated grace, great grace towards us, abundant grace towards us. He is that type of God. In his great mercy, he has given us what? New birth. God wants you to have a new birth today. He says anyone that comes to Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. You might be dealing with a habit today. I want to tell you that habit can be broken in Christ. He's got new life. He's got new beginnings for you. He is that kind of God today. He loves you so much, amen, that he's got a great plan for your life. There is no mistake in life. God's got a plan for you today. Turn to somebody and say, you're not a mistake. Doesn't matter what your mom and dad may have said. You've got purpose and life in you. He has given us a new birth into living hope through the what? Through the resurrection. We have a living hope. We're living in hope today, church. Man, I don't know about you, man, but I'm living in hope today. I've got hope today and hope for tomorrow because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done. There's a lot of hopeless people out there, but you don't have to be one of them. God's got hope for you today. He's got good things prepared for you today. He's got newness prepared for you today. His grace is sufficient. That is the good news this morning. He's not dead in a grave somewhere. Why? I've been there. I've been to Jerusalem. I've walked into the tomb, and I can tell you he's not there. He's alive today, living in hope. Hallelujah. And hope living in us this morning. So I want to go through some Bible characters this morning and look about the resurrection and how it impacted their life. So I want you to go, first of all, to John chapter 20 and verse 1. And I want us to look at this person that they came to the tomb after the death of Jesus. And let's kind of go through the story. And as we go down, I'll explain a little bit to you as we go. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So the first character that showed up at the tomb that day was who? Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, if you know the Bible, she was the one that Jesus cast out 7 demons. Some people say that she was a prostitute. That's kind of the tradition. But the Bible doesn't really go into that. But a lot of tradition says that she was a prostitute. But the Bible does say that Jesus cast out 7 demons out of her. So her life evidently was a mess. It doesn't tell us all about her life, but it's really interesting that the first one that showed up to the tomb was Mary Magdalene. And the Bible talks about those who have been forgiven much, love much. And so she knew how much she had been forgiven, and because of that impact that God had on her life and Christ had on her life, she loved Jesus very much. You know, God's got the same forgiveness for you today. No matter what you've done, what you've been through, you may have been a prostitute, you may have been an alcoholic, whatever it may be, you may be a drug addict, but I'm telling you, God can set you free today. There is power in him. He's got that power. He's got that love towards you. He's not condemning you today. He's loving you today. You may have made a mistake. You may have had premarital sex. You may have had all types of things going on in your life. But I want to tell you, God loves you today where you are. You may be a prostitute. God loves you today where you are. He's got forgiveness for you. He's got healing for you. There is a man you can trust. His name is Jesus. Wow. Amen and amen. Whatever mistake you may have made in life, it's not over. It's not over. Mary went to the tomb. She was looking for Jesus. You're here this morning, you may be searching for him. And the Bible says the stone is rolled away. The law has been replaced, the stone. The law was written on stone. The law has been replaced by Jesus because he fulfilled the law. It's not about the law or living up to the law. You cannot live up to the law. No one can live up to the law. Only Jesus lived up to the law. And because he lived up to the law, he knew you couldn't. He took your place. And he's got forgiveness and hope and healing for you today. He is a God of healing and restoration. Your mind may be messed up. God's got healing for your mind. Your body may be messed up. God's got healing for your body. He is that type of good God today. Am I preaching, or is it just I am? Amen. I've gone from teaching to preaching, but that's all right. Amen. They call it spreaching. Right? All right. I want you to go down. And she came to the tomb, and the stone was rolled away. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. I love when John writes this, because he always puts in there, I'm the disciple who Jesus loves. That's who you need to be this morning. That's who you need to recognize yourself as. And the one who Jesus loved. They had taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they had put him. That's what she was saying. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. Both of the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Then they were excited, man. They were having a foot race, weren't they? He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying, but did not go in. He saw the linen lying there, but didn't go in because they had wrapped his body in grave clothes. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there again, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and he saw and what? Believe. Wow, how cool is that? They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They were without understanding. Although they had been with Jesus a long time. I know a lot of people still been with Jesus a long time without understanding. The disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, I know I read fast, but back up, brother. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. Now, I want you to see this. And saw what? Two angels, right? Seated where Jesus' body had been. One at the head, and the other at what? The foot. That's really interesting, because if you look at what is called the Ark of the Covenant, some of you saw Indiana Jones, right? Remember that movie? He was looking for the Ark, right? But it was truly a symbol of God's presence in Israel. And at the Ark of the Covenant, they had one cherubim on this side and one cherubim on this side. And then covering the ark was the mercy seat. Then inside the ark was the rod of Moses, which had budded. There was the tablets of stone. They're all inside that ark. The law was inside the ark of the covenant. But the mercy seat was laid over it. God's mercy always triumphs over the law. And this is a great prophetic picture of the mercy seat of Christ, of the angels side by side, yet Christ over the top, over all of the law that had been pointed against us. So that's what she saw, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They had taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they had put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. So many times in our distress and everything that's going on in our life, we forget that God is with us. And he was standing there with her, but she did not recognize him. I want you to know this morning, God is with you today. He is right here in our presence. He hasn't left us or forsaken us. He is here with you this morning, and he loves you greatly. Look at this. I love this.
"Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which is teacher. Wow, you know God is calling your name this morning? John, George, Ringo, Paul. He's calling you this morning. He loves you today. He knows you by name. In fact, the Bible says he knows how many hairs you have on your head and how many you don't. He loves you this morning. And he's calling out by name. And he turned and called her Mary. And she recognized him. Verse 17. Jesus said, "Do not hold to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She was the first evangelist, wasn't she? And had seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. What a powerful thing. The very first one he appears to is Mary Magdalene. Why? Because I believe much was forgiven, and she loved much. And she was there with him. Turn over, if you will, to John. Just stay there. Drop down to verse 19. We're just going to go right down through John here a second and look at this. I want you to look at the second person he appeared to. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, notice they had a time of gathering together on the first day of the week. I thought that was pretty cool. With the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said what? Peace. They were afraid of the Jews, the religious crowd. I can't blame them. It kind of makes me nervous as well. And they were afraid of him, but he came and stood in the midst, and the first thing he said to them was what? Peace. And that's what God's saying to you today. Peace. Turn to somebody and say peace. Amen. God says peace to you this morning. No matter what you're going through, God says peace to you. He loves you today. Amen. Peace to you. Turn to somebody and say peace out, brother. Amen. Just chill out. God loves you this morning. He stood in the midst and said peace to them. Go on down. Let's go on and read this. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit that had not been poured out yet. "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will what?" So we give him the name of what? Doubting who? Doubting Thomas. He said, "Hey, unless I wasn't there, and unless I see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to believe it." Wow. Some of you may be doubting this morning, but I'm telling you, he is here this morning. He is alive this morning. You don't have to doubt any longer. He's living in me. He can be living in you. He is here today. So let's go on down. Look at the story. A week later, his disciples went in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. You know, don't allow your door to be locked this morning. Don't allow your mind to be shut in this morning. Open up your mind and open up your heart. Allow Jesus to come in this morning. He is right here, and he's knocking at the door. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anybody opens the door, I will come in and sup with them." God wants to have fellowship with you. He loves you that much today. He wants to have that fellowship. And Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, again, what? Peace. Man, that's what God's word is to you this morning. It's peace to your life. Peace to your circumstance. Peace to your family this morning. Peace to your brain. Just peace this morning. Peace to your heart today. Love this. Look at this. They said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and do what? And believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet." What? There is such a blessing on those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen. I haven't seen him in the physical, but I know him in the spirit. And I believe this morning. I see him in the word. His word is alive today. His word is active today, and you can find him in the word. He is here. Amen. Let's go do another one real quick this morning. Go over to John 21. Let's keep on going through John. Amen. So, and I love this because there was a disciple named Peter. I think all of us can identify with the Apostle Peter because he was, you know, always kind of up and down at times in his life. And one time Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. And then Jesus had a prophecy and he told Peter, said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Even before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me." And you know what Peter did? He did. After Jesus went to the cross and while he was there, he was hanging out with the wrong crowd and he denied Christ three times. And the rooster crowed and it reminded him and he went out and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. Peter, this guy, up and down, in and out, God loved him. God had a plan for his life. You know, you're never too far from God. He's right here with you. I want you to look at John 21. Let's go 1 through 23. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. I love this. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish." Peter says, "I'm going fishing." Nothing wrong with that, but that's not exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, "Go out into all the world," but Peter decided, "I'm going to go fishing." And the other says, "Well, you know what? It looks like a good day. We're going to go with you." How many's ever been there besides Pastor? "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught what? Man, you know, that's not me. When I go fishing, I have anointing on me. I always catch fish. So if you want to go fishing someday, come and see me. We'll go fishing and you'll catch fish. Well, I don't know about you, but I will. But I'll share my fish with you, all right? So here they go. They're out and they go out fishing. That's not what they were supposed to be doing, but the other disciple says, "Hey, it sounds like a good deal. Let's go and fish." And they toiled all night. What did they catch? Nothing. But look at this. This is cool. This is after the resurrection. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. Again, they didn't see him. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Some of you have been fishing on the wrong side of the boat. That's the problem. You've been searching for things and looking for things on the wrong side of the boat. You need to get on the right side of the boat. Get on the boat where Jesus is at. Amen. I want Jesus on my boat. How about you? So this is what they did. And Jesus said this, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved." Do you notice he threw that in there again? John's writing this, and here he goes again with that. "Then the disciple who Jesus loved." John knew that Jesus loved him. You need to do that. "I'm the disciple that Jesus loves." Amen. Said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter had heard him saying, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Who would ever do that? Who would put your coat back on to jump in the water? Most people would take their coat off and jump into the water. But Peter put his coat back on to jump in the water. You know why? Because he was full of guilt and shame and condemnation. And when you're full of guilt and shame and condemnation, you want to cover up. God didn't want you to cover up. God has a covering for you. It's his blood. Amen. We are covered by that. He put his coat on and jumped into the water. Why? Because he was so full of guilt from denying the Lord. Well, God loves you right where you are. He didn't want condemnation working in your life today. If you're in Christ, there is no condemnation in him this morning. Amen. He frees us. He doesn't condemn us. Amen. A condemned person, no one can live in a condemned building. You're not a condemned building. God loves you today. He wants to come into your life and free you up so that you're not living under the law of condemnation, but you're living under the spirit of life and peace in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen this morning. Amen. Are you a believer this morning? You should say amen to that. Amen. Praise God. Look what he says. So he wrapped himself in the outer garment. He jumped into the water. Go on. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on it and some bread. Jesus already prepared for them. Do you know God already prepares for you before you even got here this morning? He had this service, this day, planned for you. You may have think, well, I came with family or I was just invited. No, God had this day, this time, this purpose planned for you. He wanted you to know God's got good for your life this morning. Your life is not over. It's not ended. God's got purpose for you. You may not even be a high school graduate, but I'm telling you, God loves you. God's got purpose for you. God's got destiny for you. It was planned. God already set it up for you. You're here on divine purpose and appointment. You're watching this morning over Periscope. You're watching with a divine purpose and appointment today because God's got nothing but good for your life. Amen. It's time to get over the bad, to get over yourself, and realize how much God loves you today. And God cares for you this morning. Wow. It's already been prepared. God's got a meal for you, and he says, come and dine. Look what he says. Amen. Wow. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Amen. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. God's got room for everybody. God's got room for everybody. Isn't that cool? A lot of people say, well, hell's going to be full. No, I believe heaven's going to be much fuller. God's got room for everybody. Are you listening to me this morning? Man, God's got room for you this morning. God's got room for you. The net's not going to break. Amen. Go on down. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. I love that, man. John was such a clever writer, wasn't he? Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third appearance that Jesus appeared to his disciples, third time he appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And he said what? Yes, Lord. How good God is. Here was the disciple that denied him three times, and here's Jesus loving him and restoring him to ministry. You know, life is never over with Jesus. There's always hope. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Wow. Do you agape me? Do you love me? He loves you this morning. God restored Simon Peter. God restored him. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the road to Emmaus, but I'm just going to relate that story. It's out of Luke this morning about the two disciples who were walking down the road after Jesus' resurrection, and they were so saddened because they didn't understand fully what was going on and what had happened. And they were talking with one another, and Jesus came and he walked beside them. And as he walked beside them, he began to expound on the scriptures. And they said to him, basically, don't you know what's been going on? And he expounded the scriptures and he opened up the word, and he talked to them about the word. And I want you to go to Luke for just a moment. Let's look at verse 30. Let's start verse 30, chapter 13, verse 30. I believe that's where I want to go. I'm sorry, Luke 24 and verse 30. We'll try to go there and just kind of pick it up here, short little bit of time. Let's back up to verse 29 there, if good, Aaron. These two disciples, but they urged strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in with them to stay with them. This is after the resurrection. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And look what they said. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? These two were so rejected, so disappointed. And you know what? Religion will disappoint you, but Jesus will never disappoint you. When they came back, he gave them communion, and their eyes were open to who Jesus was. My prayer this morning is that your eyes were open. You may have been following Muhammad, Buddha, I don't know who, but I want you to realize there's only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. And I pray that your eyes will be open to him this day, and that your heart will be open as well, and that you would receive him today into your heart and into your life, because he is here with you this morning. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to stop with this. Acts chapter 1, 1 through 11. Wow. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Love you guys. God's good. Y'all here this morning? Acts chapter 1. This is the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. It's about the apostles and their life and their work after the resurrection. And in chapter 1, it's so cool. It says, in my former book, Theophilus. Now, Theophilus was the one who, most people believe that Luke wrote Acts. Theophilus is the one who is receiving it. Now, Theophilus was the name of my brother, because when he was born, my dad said, that's the Theophilus thing I've ever seen. So, but Theophilus, though, Theophilus means lover of God. So it could be written to all of us, lover of God. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Let's drop him down. Until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, talking about the Holy Spirit. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times, the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So God has the gift of the Holy Spirit with us today. After he said this, he was taken up before them, their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking or gazing into the sky? This same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. Wow. They were earthbound, but you know what? We're all earthbound right now. One of the reasons I love to fly is because it frees me from this gravity. And it is so cool. I love it so much. But you know what? You don't have to be earthbound any longer. You can be heavenbound. God's got purpose for your life today. Amen? He loves you today. And they were standing gazing. He said, don't be standing gazing. He said, that same Jesus is going to come back. That same one is going to come back and receive you as well. So God has got such plans for your life this morning. I want you to stand today. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, no more earthbound for me. God's got purpose for me. Amen. I want you to feel, if you feel comfortable this morning, just to raise your hands this morning and give him some praise and thank him for his goodness today, his love for you. Thank him that he died for you and that he lives for you today and that you can live for him. Thank you. Would you do that right now? Just raise your hands all over this place. Father, we thank you this morning for your gift of life. We thank you for the resurrection power. God, we thank you for all that you've done for us today. Lord, we thank you for purpose in life. God, life's not over, but life's just beginning, and we praise you for that this morning. Amen. You can put your hands down just a moment. You don't have to look around. But today, God loves you so much. He's got such plans for your life. Resurrection life this morning. Good life this morning. Amen. He cares for you today. And today, you say, well, Pastor, I would love to start a new life this morning. You know, the only thing you have to do is just believe. Believe that he died. Believe that he rose from the dead. Confess him with your mouth, and the Bible says we're saved, we're born again. We don't believe in embarrassing people here. God is not a God of embarrassment. God is a God of love. But when no one's looking around this morning, if you would say in your heart, Pastor, I believe God's got purpose for my life. I want that type of life. I want you just to raise your hand right now. Would you do that? God bless you. 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 Bless you. I love you, Jordan. Amen. There's a young man, but I'm not going to embarrass him. I just love him. But there's a young man been coming to church here a long time as a baby. and he raised his hand to receive Christ this morning. So this morning, I want you to pray that prayer with me. If you raised your hand, I want you to pray a prayer with me, and I want you to believe it in your heart. I want everybody to join in with me this morning. Say, dear Jesus, thank you that you love me unconditionally, that I'm forgiven today because of your blood and sacrifice. Thank you, you died for me, and you rose again to give me life. Today, I receive you into my life, totally forgiven. All of my past, my present, my future, forgiven in you. Today, I'm brand new in my life, a fresh start, new beginnings, new relationship. I thank you for that today. Today I'm born again. All my past is wiped clean. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Holly, I want you to go back and get those books, if you will, just a moment. And I've got a gift for you. Go ahead. We've got a gift for you we want to give you today. It just kind of tells you what went on and what's going on in your life. It's awesome. It's actually written by Andrew Womack, and I think you'll really enjoy it. And Holly and I are going to be back at the back. We want to give one of those to you as just saying thank you for being with us. Hey, come out next Sunday. You don't want to miss Arthur. We've got some more chairs we're probably going to bring out, but I want to invite you. Don't make Easter just your first time. Come back, be with us. We love you today. You're deeply loved this morning. Turn to three people, say you're deeply loved and highly favored. Praise the Lord. Please grab one of those little books from us this morning. We want to give it to you. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you. Give God a hand this morning. Amen.